It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Go. I feel like I said go right in the middle of that, so it just came out as...
Oh.
Yeah. We successfully got food delivered before you got here.
Amazing.
I had to order it while I was still at work.
Oh, wow.
But I pulled it off.
Interesting.
So you won't have to answer the door unless Mormons come.
Oh, I don't want to talk to Mormons.
I do.
Well, then you can get out and talk.
I'm leashed.
I see that, but...
I can't get there. Were there two of them? Well, okay, then I think you think a lot more people are Mormon than are. I don't see a lot of people who wear
button down shirts. Dude, Jehovah's Witnesses don't come around anymore?
I just saw two go by in white button downs and ties, so. You got it. I still maintain, though, that a dude in a car dressed like Dwight Schrute does not mean Mormon missionaries in and of itself.
Pick a side.
Yes, if you'd like to tell us how many people in dress shirts it takes to be Mormon, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
But did
Jehovah's... No, it was short sleeve, actually. I saw
did,
it.
Did Jehovah's Witnesses not knock on doors anymore?
I don't know if they do or not.
They go to the Watchtower every once in a while.
I never had Jehovah's Witnesses visit until this house in my whole life.
Oh, okay.
Because where I come from, there are Jehovah's Witnesses. There aren't a lot of them. And there's fucking Mormons coming out of the woodwork. Hmm. But also, now that I think about it, I didn't get a lot of missionaries at my door growing up. And that may have been because I had a lot of Mormon friends. And I know that that goes down. Like, we didn't get any while our neighbors were Mormon. Sorry, not that they changed religion. They moved away. And after they moved away, we started getting missionaries. So I was like, I'm pretty sure... Like, we were their deal.
They claimed you?
Exactly.
These are so ours.
So they can get the stickers. Yeah, there's a chart, and you get a sticker for each conversion. If you're Mormon, suck it up. Your religion's kind of weird. Honestly, if somebody's got to be right, I hope it's you guys, because I come out really well in the Mormon faith. Mormon faith is really good. And Mormons, by and large, are some of the nicest fucking people I've ever met. Your religion's still kind of weird. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world with a religion weirder than Latter-day Saints. Because we believe in a magical hat. So, that's odd.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 375.
All right, so, you know I love our listeners.
You have said that.
But they're pissing me off.
In recent years, you've said that.
But they're pissing me off.
Well, now what?
So, you know, we got the new machine.
Yes.
And I ask people...
It's a beautiful purple
machine. Tell me what the sound is like.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Coffee did it. I talked to Coffee every day, and she told me, and that was great. Nobody else says Jack. This is not unusual. I frequently ask for feedback regarding, no pun intended, regarding the sound quality, and seldom hear anything.
But Jazz said something.
Jazz finally did. Jazz is probably the best one, but she also forgets for about the first month, usually. Oh,
okay. Well, it wasn't that long.
And then, no, this time it was faster. It was only like two or three. And then today, Stu... who's been listening, like he doesn't listen all the time, but fairly regularly, tells me something has changed and the sound quality is better now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, but he's like, I don't know what it would be. I'm like, could it be the new laptop that I mentioned several times and asked people to talk about? And he says, I don't know. He's like, but the balance is really good. Normally, William is really quiet compared to you.
Mm-hmm.
I spent years telling you this, and I would ask people to, and nobody did. So I'm like, I guess I'm wrong. I guess William doesn't sound quiet. And now,
when
this former Welsh motherfucker is like, oh no, he's too quiet.
When Jazz mentioned that, she said, well, the last two have been like that. The one she posted on, she said was like that, and the one before. But she hadn't noticed it being like that before that, that I was quieter. She just noticed on the two.
See, and that's the problem. Everybody does different. And also, some people listen to headphones, some people don't.
And I never noticed, I did notice the last one I seemed quieter, but I didn't notice on any other ones before that, or I would have told you.
Yeah. And honestly, I just like making fun of Stu. He's racist, by the way.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't seen Black Panther yet.
That makes him racist?
Yes. I told him this when it came out, because he has kids, so he can't get to the theater very often. But he came out, I'm like, you have to see it tonight, or you're racist. And he didn't. And then the next, he's like, I'm going to buy, he buys Blu-rays. He's like, it's better quality than the digital stuff. I was like, okay. And then he was like, oh, it came out on Blu-ray. And I was like, okay, so you're going to go and buy it, and you're going to watch it tonight. And he couldn't, because his oldest had a viola recital.
Wow. So that sounds pretty white.
The next day, I go to his boss, and I'm like, just so you know, Stu still has not watched Black Panther. And the other night, he had a chance to do it, but instead, he went to see his white child's viola recital.
Very white viola.
I'm just saying, he would rather listen to a white kid play viola, presumably not great, because they're kids, than see this. That's racist. That's what I'm saying. Racist. I've been tempted to watch it again. Let me do the thing. Here's how the show works. We have a religion. It involves a magic hat. The hat is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, a couple really good people, but we need more of you. It's getting a little dry there. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. with little notes, comments, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. It's e-reader using, well, I do, partial e-reader partial using servants. Draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show, except for the bulk of it, which is not that at all.
And if you don't believe in the hat, you're basically...
You're going to hell.
Yeah, you're basically equivalent to Hitler.
It's one of the meanest things I've ever heard. I love that.
And in fact...
It's one of the meanest things I've ever heard you say. I've heard other people say.
I mean a lot worse than Stuart, who's just a racist.
Yeah. Basically, he goes by Stu on here. Don't tell people his real name is Stuart.
Sorry.
Especially
worse than Stu. Because he's just a racist.
Or as he says in his native tongue...
Yeah. And Welsh. But
he's not Welsh anymore. He's American now.
Formerly Welsh.
I have to work on him with this a lot. He keeps using the wrong terms.
But he's still not an infidel.
No.
And that makes him better than the people who don't believe in the hat.
If you don't believe in the hat, you get cursed to do the podcast. We didn't believe in the hat before the podcast started. So now we're stuck doing that. Let us be your Jacob Marley. Like, we wear these chains.
Be warned.
In podcast that were invisible in life. Every link forged when we made fun of hats not being
magical. Right.
Yeah. So.
Like that whole Frosty the Snowman thing, we scoffed at that to no end.
And for the record, those of you who know what he looks like and picture it, every time William comes over to record the podcast, his mouth is tightly shut with a kerchief that's been wrapped around his jaw, and every time he unties it, and first his jaw just falls down like a corpse's, and then he has to put it back in place.
Yep. It's really inconvenient.
Yes.
But if our listeners could see the chain that they're
making. This is by the chain for, oh God. A lot of brain space is taken up with the Christmas Carol that I would really love for it to not be taken up with.
I like it. I only finally read it a few years ago, and I thought
I was in it. I was Bob Cratchit.
Oh.
In sixth grade.
I thought the written version was really good. I mean, compared to, you know, I'd only seen, like, television versions of it.
The play version is the Albert Finney version, which has all the songs in it. I'm partial to the Albert Finney version. My sister is partial to the George C. Scott version. For a little while, we had sort of a Christmas tradition where we had to watch both of them back to back.
Did I tell you that I wrote a treatment for a new Christmas Carol where the principle, it was based on the principle of narcissism instead of greed?
No, I like that, though.
What I did was I read the book, or the, I don't know if it's really a short story, I don't know.
I think it is a short story. It might count as a novella, but I'm pretty sure it was written in a paper. So.
I beat for beat, you know, made this whole other story, and sometimes I even pasted in parts of the original story where I thought it would fit, or certain lines, or
so like how George Lucas made Star Wars.
I guess, kind of. And in my story, a rock star accidentally gets trapped in, he's turned large portions of his house into a panic room, mm-hmm. and he's accidentally gotten trapped in there, and that's where he experiences the ghost. But the main concept that's being addressed isn't so much greed as it is narcissism. But there's three ghosts, and, you know, they represent different things. And I kind of envision Jack Black playing the protagonist.
He seems pretty narcissistic.
Well, he seemed like a character who could play narcissistic at first and then transform, you know, into something else.
Did you ever see An American Christmas Carol?
I don't know.
Oh, fucking Christ. You would remember, because Ebenezer, it's just the same exact story, but set in probably early 20th century America. Maybe late 19th century, I don't know. Ebenezer Scrooge is played by Henry Winkler.
I think I heard about it.
But that's not the part that I ever give a fuck about. The part that I remember that sticks with me in my soul is when it got time for the Christmas Future part. The ghost of Christmas Future came in like this. Ebenezer wakes up from his thing with Ghost of Christmas Present, and he's like, oh my God, and da, da, da. It was just a dream, whatever, and he tries to go back to bed, and his radio, which is one of the old-timey big ones, turns on by itself and starts playing disco music.
Disco music?
And then, yes, which he finds strange and confusing, and then the Ghost of Christmas Future appears. Not in a cloak and things like that. No, he is a large black man wearing a disco leisure suit type thing, way open chest in the front, and big gold medallion in it. Even as a kid, who I don't think yet had learned the term racist, I was like, holy shit, that's racist. Pretty amazing. That being said,
Stu would have liked it.
Oh my God, I love this. The title of the episode might have to be Stu is Racist. I don't know. To his credit, though, there's a show on HBO right now called Barry that we've been watching. It's a short show. It's Bill Hader, and he's a hitman, and he goes to do a job in L.A., and he accidentally stumbles into basically an improv workshop and decides he wants to be an actor while still being a hitman, and hijinks ensue. And the head of the class is Henry Winkler, and he's doing an amazing job. He plays this sort of has-been sleazy, I guess, actor. I don't know. Like, he teaches now and stuff. And he just brings so much to it. It was really amazing. Henry Winkler has really, for me, made quite a career post Happy Days and all the things where he had to reference Happy Days. although I do still love the bit in Arrested Development where they bring in Bob Blah Blah That's the lawyer's name, Bob Loblaw. Mm-hmm. And it's played by Scott Baio. Mm-hmm. And he's replacing the previous lawyer, who is played by Henry Winkler. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, I think I can do for you everything that he did. Plus, I'll skew younger. So, how was your week?
It was good. As a matter of fact, we've been watching season 3 of
Arrested
Development.
Think you got it.
Oh, sorry. We've been watching season 3 of Arrested Development on Netflix.
Season 3 is pretty tight.
But...
Not 4. 3. You sure?
Yeah.
So not the new... Not the newer one.
No. Okay. And I didn't, first of all, I didn't see it on Netflix for some reason. And I thought, maybe we've seen season 3 already. Because it was originally 3 seasons, right?
Yeah. The original show was 3 seasons done.
I'm pretty sure we saw all 3 of them. And I thought, well, let's just watch it and see if we recognize it or remember it. Nothing.
I went back through all of them again. Yeah, I'm guessing maybe you hadn't seen it then. I don't know. That seems weird.
There's moments where it's like, that seems familiar, but there are whole shows that I do not remember that at all.
What's interesting, 4, 5 is about to come out, or at least the first half of 5 is about to come out. 4, some people were mixed on 4, including especially my wife and me originally. I got over it, and I watched it a second time, and I liked it better. Because it's done weirdly. It's cut up. And what it is each episode focuses on a character, and so you see what's been going on with them, but then, like, the next episode will be a different character, and you may literally see, like, the same scene from that character's perspective. So there's a lot of things that you don't understand until you've watched most of the season, and it can just be a little annoying to people. It's kind of clever, but it can be annoying
to people.
There's,
like, a decade gap there, right?
That's another factor, which is a whole thing. And they put that into the show. It's later, and that's a whole... Like, they acknowledge that fact. Recently, Mitch Hurwitz re-edited it, and it supposedly is also on Netflix, the 4th season in chronological order. It's still edited into pieces, like episodes, but, like, all the stuff that happened at a certain time goes together and stuff like that. I'm kind of curious to watch that and see what that looks like. I'm sure I will watch 5th season. Even when it's bad, Arrested Development is really good.
Pretty good.
But I feel like we're way into diminishing returns at this point. I'm like, if we keep this up, we're going to have a season where I don't like it anymore. And I don't want that season. So we'll have to see. But I'm going to keep with it.
That's mostly all that we've been... I mean, we've been doing a lot of things, but nothing interesting to talk about. What about your week?
Mostly just running around trying to get shit together because we're leaving for Oregon tomorrow. I'm still playing Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm feeling much more confident about it. There's a definite learning curve, but I feel like I'm getting there now, and I'm getting better at tactics and things like that. So I'm still really enjoying that, and I still really think your wife would like it very much.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, very
I'll
much.
I'll have
so.
To tell her then.
It has not only the female lead aspect, yeah, but there's a lot of things to it that, from what you've told me before, are elements she really likes
okay.
in games.
Sure. All right, then.
So I would recommend it.
Okay.
Not watching a lot of TV. We finished out Atlanta.
What did you think of his music video, This Is America?
I haven't watched the whole thing. I like it. I like that he's out there doing shit. I like that he has a point. He is an incredibly talented actor. He's an incredibly talented writer. He's an incredibly talented comedian, and pretty darn good rapper from what I've been able to tell. I've listened to a few tracks of Childish Gambino, and he's got a point. He's not just trying to make money or be successful. Like, he's really trying to craft art and message that he wants. And I like that. And I like a lot of the stuff he's putting out. But even if I didn't, I like that he's doing it.
I can't say that...
I'm really excited to see him as Lando.
Oh, yeah, me too. I can't say that I was really that interested in some of his previous musical work. I mean, you know, I listened to it because...
Yeah.
And I thought, it's not my thing. This was very musically very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I hadn't been watching the video, I think I would have heard the music and thought, He's doing some interesting stuff with this.
And it's the same director that directed a lot of his other videos that also directs all of Atlanta except the bits where Donald Glover directs himself. Hiro Murai, I believe.
Well, it's also shot. I mean, there's probably a lot of breaks, but the way they've edited it and, you know, put it together, it looks like the whole thing is two continuous shots, which always impresses me because some people probably don't notice, but because they're used to cuts, you know, they feel the tension of this thing that keeps going and keeps going. And I think that's very effective.
I have this thing now when it's something that's clearly going to be like magical or whatever. I'm like, where's the cut? Where's the cut? they could have switched it out right then. And I partially do that because I'm like, they pulled that off with one long shot. I don't know how they did that.
Well,
you know, but I always watch because sometimes the cut can be very subtle.
Well, yes, but there's also ways to cheat. Now where you don't have to have someone walk before in front of the camera, or you don't have to have a quick pan. That's another place where they like to cut. They've got ways you can cheat now where you can cut lots of places and just
digitally put the thing together. Yeah, you can.
Which that makes me curious. There was only one or two cuts in the whole thing, and it made me wonder, why did they have any? Why didn't they just put those digital effects in those two places to make it look like one long shot?
Good question.
But I mean, it was artistic choice, obviously, but there were the one place where there was a cut, it was definitely a cut. I mean, you couldn't mistake it for anything else. I thought, well, that's interesting. Why did they do that when they could have used digital means to just make it look like one shot the whole time? And I'm sure they probably did do some digital cheating. Yeah. Because otherwise, the problem with one cut, of course, is when you're shooting is you've got to get all that stuff happening in one take. And there's a lot of stuff happening in this video. This isn't just a person lip syncing while they walk down the street. There's stuff going on in the background. So this would have been hard to do in one take. I'm not saying they didn't do it that way, but they didn't have to.
You really should watch the show, man. It's fucking amazing, and it's so much more than one thing. Like I've talked about the issues with representation and the issues with showing me what I suspect to be a fairly true vision of a side of American life I've never seen. But it also, he has episodes that are like 40 minutes long that could easily have been their own film, and it would have been considered a good film. Like, there's some amazing shit going on here. He had one episode that was so freaky, apparently it gave the filming gave the director nightmares about it.
Wow.
Which I can get. And I still highly recommend the episode. It's amazing, but it's just freaky. Like, they're just doing, he's really creative. And it's probably no surprise that he showed up in the world. I mean, I know he did shit before, and actually, I know some of the shit he did before. I don't care for it as much. It's sort of juvenile comedy, but he was a kid. The things that really made his mark is he was one of the original writers on 30 Rock, and, of course, Community. And the man's just really good at what he does. And it's
kind of a creative had genius,
Trish
really.
And I talking a lot about the show because, ultimately, I have a friend who just started watching it, and I was like, there are four main characters, and I told her who they are, and I'm like, the other ones, if it gets confusing, those are the four that you care about. And we were talking about, like, the show has very slowly over time crafted kind of strong opinions about the characters and not the ones that we were expecting. The big one being that Donald Glover's character, who's ostensibly the main character, don't really like him. He's not really a good guy. Like, he's trying to be a good guy. He's not really a good guy. But I don't want to say subtle, but it's complex how you get to this point. And it's fascinating to me. We saw a movie last night, which we were way late to seeing. We should have seen it a while ago. It was the Pixar film Coco.
Yeah, we saw that recently also.
Oh, did you?
Only recently, yeah.
What did you think?
It confused me
because,
I mean, The conception of, and this is what I'm going to talk about is in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler or anything. Okay. The conception
There's Mexicans
of,
in it.
No, the conception of the land of the dead being full of skeleton people. It's not like that, right?
No. They also don't have cable cars and shit like that either. No, it's just cute. Well, and I mean, to a certain degree, Dia de los Muertos art frequently has people skeleton-y.
This is true, but it seemed weird to me, and also the skeleton gags were way overdone. I mean, you know, taking the skull off and throwing it around and stuff. And it's like, okay, I get it. Your skeleton's awesome.
Wow. That's a weirdly specific.
I don't know why. It just annoyed me that they kept doing the same gag over and over and over again. Otherwise, though, yeah, it was good. I mean, it was a Pixar film, definitely.
Yep.
It definitely had that flavor. It was fun. It was interesting. You know, I it was very well received, as I recall, and it deserved all of the accolades that it got, as far as I can tell. It's just that one aspect of it that confused and sort of annoyed me, actually, a little bit. But
I was talking a little bit with Trish about the overall thing with that, in that I feel like there's a double standard now, in that you can play with anybody's religion as you know, goofy fantasy stuff, except Jesus and God. So like with strict Christian stuff, you couldn't have made that movie set in the Western idea of heaven. People would have been outraged. But it's only now, because in the past you could. George Burns had movies where he played God and the devil. There was a movie called All Dogs Go to Heaven that featured both heaven and hell in it. But I feel like nowadays you can't get away with that. But this, even though it's ostensibly still Christian, but I mean, it's a different culture's mythos than, oh yeah, no, we can have this fun little children's movie romp in their afterlife, which I found a little weird. But again, I'm pointing to a double standard. I don't have a problem with this movie. I'd much rather another movie comes out that does that for Christianity, is what I'm saying.
Sure, sure. That would be interesting.
I thought this movie was great. I highly recommend this movie. I loved so many things about it. I loved the amount of music. It's not a full-blown musical, but it's got some songs in it, and I enjoyed them. I loved the level of representation. There are cultural things in this that you won't necessarily get, and they don't dumb it down to explain it to you. And it's not things that hurt the film. I mean, it's not things that would hurt your watching of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a bit about the dead version of Santos, who's kind of a famous Mexican cultural figure. He was a pro wrestler, and then he was in movies and stuff. He's sort of a superhero / pro wrestler cultural figure, and they make a joke about it, and if you don't know who Santos is, it's fine, but they don't bother to tell you. Just stuff like that. I felt it was not patronizing. It was very much a Hispanic cultural film that I didn't feel was patronizing in the way that Disney can so often do. And so I was pleased with that. I think it's really good. I highly recommend it to everyone. I had some major issues with it.
And what were they?
They mostly had to do with the very initial premise and all the stuff. Most of the stuff in The Land of the Living pissed me off. The Living pissed me off in this movie, basically. I'm going to talk about things that are literally explained in the very first words of the movie, so I guess I'm spoiling the first 30 seconds of the setup of the film, but deal with it. Our main character's family has a long and storied history, which involves a man and a woman having a baby, and the man is a musician, and he decides he really wants to be a famous musician, so he runs off and leaves his family behind, which sucks. Consequently, the mother bans music from the house, hates music, and her whole family, like, raises her family to hate music. And so generations later, they all still hate music and won't allow it anywhere around and no talk about it or anything. And, of course, our hero, the child, wants to be a musician.
Also, there's one job that they're allowed to do.
Shoemaking.
Yeah, besides.
Which is kind of funny in its way. I don't know. I don't know if that's based in a folkloric thing or what. That was kind of funny. But a couple things. One is, what's funny, the things that bugged me about this movie all appeared in the Little Mermaid films also. Both the first one and the prequel. King Triton pulled some similar shit.
Prequel?
Yes, they did a prequel. I forget what it was called, but Little Mermaid 2 something. Yeah, and it was a prequel. You found out exactly how Ariel's mom died, and otherwise it was a pretty similar thing in that King Triton got really pissed off, and then eventually Ariel taught him not to be pissed off at the end.
Okay.
And in that, his wife sang a lot, and so when she died, he banned music. So there's a couple of things here.
Like people do.
This is my thing. In fact, afterwards, I'm talking about it with Trish, and we're just like, yeah, you liked it. I'm like, I liked it too, but... And the next thing I know, I'm practically shouting about this. And I'm like, oh, apparently this bugged me. It's not a thing that happens ever. Nope. Except in stories. It happens very often in stories. It is a common trope in these old fable-y type stories that somebody hates music for, like music messed them up for some reason, so they ban music. And that never happened in the world. Now, some people could experience trauma to such a degree that they personally hate music and don't care to listen to it ever again. That's extreme, but I could absolutely see that happening.
You're forcing the much whole more likely generations.
And the fucking grandma is two generations removed. She didn't even know the musician guy, and she hates music so much that she fucking breaks her grandson's guitar in front of him. And that gets me to my second point. I am incredibly... I get the whole, oh, the family doesn't believe in the protagonist's dream and they have to learn to love him and accept him. You know, it is the movie plot, especially the Disney movie plot. But that bit where people do things, like serious things to people against their will, out of a terribly misguided sense of love. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. No, quite the opposite. It does. It triggers the shit out of me. Mm. I wanted to punch the screen when Grandma's breaking that guitar. I'm like, what the fuck kind of swelled ego do you have that you would destroy his property? And how is it all of these people who weren't even around for any of this shit hate music so much he's not allowed to go near the places where musicians might be? That's dumb as shit. It pisses me off.
Well,
outside of that, it's a wonderful movie.
The thing is, though,
at the end, and Grandma's crying, I'm like, what the fuck is she crying about? At the end, they very conveniently poke some holes in their no music theory just enough so that we can have a happy ending. I'm like, fuck you, movie. But again, other than that, wonderful film. Highly recommend it to everybody. It is quite family friendly. Go nuts.
Well, and what people would point out, and you know, you get this with lots of fairy tales where a king will outlaw something that it's just a ridiculous rule, and then that's the point of it. That you know, sometimes people can be really ridiculous and silly, and not even notice the horrible consequences where their fear is taking them. And it is exaggerated, but it's supposed to, it's presented in an exaggerated way so people can reflect on this kind of thing in their own life without, because if you present it realistically, it might hit home too much for someone and they just will feel uncomfortable by the story you're telling and they just won't like it. But if you exaggerate it or you make it comically exaggerated, you might break through that barrier and lead to a person maybe looking at their own life or reflecting on themselves.
Okay, then their problem was that they did too well then, because I understand that it's a cartoon and everybody was squashed and stretched and all that stuff and silly things happened, but it felt very real when they were pulling that shit, as opposed to John Lithgow in Footloose is just funny. Like, Footloose is also a terrible plot, except for at no moment do I have any sympathy or empathy with the situation. It's just patently ridiculous. And this one had a little bit of realism, I guess. I don't know. Like, it was enough that it bugged me, like I said. Well, as all of us can figure out now, it bugged me pretty bad.
Well, I wonder, too, if another thing about that I sort of noticed about this story, and Pixar does this quite a bit. They did this with The Incredibles a little bit. Do you remember how in The Incredibles there was kind of this weird thing they did where they kind of spoke to the whole everyone gets a medal kind of culture, you know, when they say, well, you know, when they were telling Dash,
oh, and Dash can't win.
Everybody's special. Well, that means nobody is.
Yeah.
And the bad guy, you know, everyone will be super and then nobody will be super.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an odd critique of the everybody gets a medal culture in a way, but I couldn't quite tell which way they were going with it.
Yeah, it was a little lukewarm, the analysis. Yeah. Syndrome, the villain, it was much more.
But in, this is kind of the same thing where they're setting up a very classic society versus individual thing. You know, are you going to conform to your to the
and
society?
Family's important.
Yeah, or are you gonna express yourself?
And
is
later we get more
yourself?
Backstory that just made it stupider to me. When we explain, I don't want to give, but somewhere in the middle of the movie, I'm not talking about the. By the way. There is a twist in this movie that I genuinely didn't see coming. Like, I was expecting something else that I would be in a similar line, but they surprised me, and that was cool. But there's a bit earlier where we get more into the history of the ancient grandmother that banned music and everything, and I'm like, that just made the whole thing dumber. but...
Well, and then in the end, you know... In stories like this, there's a very typical thing that happens where somehow everybody's happy, right?
Yep.
Like the person gets to do the thing, but the family's okay with it, but the person was willing to not do it after all, so they were setting aside their selfishness, I guess?
Yeah.
And but somehow, by some magical means, by them doing that, then their family's okay with it.
Because reasons, yeah.
Yeah, and then it gets tied up in a nice bow. And so they set up this conflict.
That's
this
what it
conflict.
Is. He says, Mama, wait a second, at the end. And I'm like, why would he say that? Every other instant we've seen this character, he'd be cheering her on or helping her. Why now is he like, wait a second?
it was kind of uneven with all that stuff.
A lot of plot things at the end that fall apart. But, I mean, this is... It's a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's
a Pixar movie. I know you said it's definitely a Pixar movie, and it is. I see Disney creeping in a little more here.
Sure you do.
But honestly, there were a lot of things. The plot got really wobbly near the end. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care, though, because the end had some really fun stuff. There was some really great...
Sure.
The Hector-Imelda interactions during the climax... I don't know why, but I just loved those. They had such like great chemistry going on with all. I don't know what I'm saying. That was pretty cute. There's a few things in it, cultural things that I want to look up now because I found them very interesting. The animals in particular.
Oh yeah.
I found that I want to look up more on that.
That was interesting.
But no, I mean, yeah, we're talking shit here. It's easy to pick apart a Disney film, even a Pixar one. That being said, it's really good. It's a very good film. I highly recommend it.
Well, the same can be said about Black Panther.
Panther fucking rocks. Wakanda forever.
Okay, it's not really an issue of whether or not you talk about it or critique it or whatever else. It's just the fact that you can sit and do that with a movie that doesn't just have white people in it. That's the great thing. It's not a matter of whether you like it, don't like it. Critique it or don't critique it. It's just the fact that it's there, and it's not just the same old thing over and over again.
I should also say I am one of the few people who really liked Book of Life.
Yeah, we did too. I'd say I liked it better than this movie. Actually,
see, that's the thing. I think this movie's better.
No, I think we
now
like Book of Life better.
Visually, that was very interesting. The medium they used was very interesting in that way, sort of giving it that carved wooden look all over.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool, but I think I liked this better. But yeah, a lot of people did not care for Book of Life.
I wonder why.
There are a variety of reasons. Their choice to mariachi-ize a bunch of modern music to put in it.
Oh, I guess I didn't really
sounded
think about
stupid
that.
To people. And I don't know. They just weren't into it. But Coco, they were really into. It wasn't until pretty close to the end that Trish said, I just figured out why the dog is named what the dog is named. And I was like, so did I, just as you said that. two weird side notes before we draw something out of the hat here. Apparently that's a stink bug. It's like a box elder bug, but it doesn't have red on it. Apparently those are stink bugs. That was not the point. I was talking to William, not you guys. Two things. I recently discovered a webcomic that I would recommend to people, I think, called Cassiopeia Quinn. And it's at CassiopeiaQuinn.com. It's a very silly space action thing involving a, you know, criminal with a heart of gold and a military officer who's obsessed with catching her. And it's pretty fun. So check that out. And the other thing is, I think you need to explain something to our listeners. Because I learned after last time when we talked about the dispensation of Briar Rose Project at this point, we have some listeners now who came around long after that happened and don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Oh.
So perhaps you should give us a brief explanation of what that is.
Well, this is, you know, several years, 4 years.
Briar Rose Project was a dream given form. A neutral territory in space. Sorry.
This is 4 years ago now. Probably 5 years ago it started.
Long-ass time ago.
Yeah. My stepdaughter and I were talking about Grimm fairy tales.
Keep on the mic.
And we were talking about ways to integrate all of the stories together. That was one part of it. But another part of it was to do it in such a way that took out some of the sexist elements, but also put in some expressly feminist elements, like, you know, not being apologetic about that, but just putting that stuff right in there. So I came up, based on those conversations, I came up with a script, a pretty long script, but I kept all the stuff in there because, like I said, I might later on want to pare it down.
It didn't feel long to me. I mean, you're right, it is a fairly long script, but nothing felt really superfluous to me, at least.
So then I talked about it on the podcast, and you came up with the idea, really, to sort of ask. Yes, that was your idea.
I had a time period where I had sort of discovered audiobooks, and I was like, everything should be an audiobook.
So you came up with the idea just to say, to ask listeners if they were interested in maybe helping out with it, and a lot of people responded. I was able to cast the thing. We had some readings, which I thought went really well, and were a good proof of concept, actually, because when you listen to them, it's like, yeah, this can work.
Sausage! Sausage!
You were cast.
As a frog and a sausage.
Right.
That are in the same scene.
So the great thing...
I was also guard number three or whatever.
For me, the great thing about the Briar Rose story is if you were to listen to it and then, like, pick up a Grimm's fairy tale book, you'd probably be surprised how many Grimm fairy tales are actually worked into it.
A lot of stuff in there.
And then the ones that aren't still exist kind of in the same world,
and
you know?
The thing is, I know you, so there were bits that I was like, I don't know this, but I'm confident he didn't make this up. No. Like, this is... pretty much everything, I'm like, this comes from a fairy tale, even if I don't recognize it.
Nope. I didn't make... The only thing I made up was how things were connected. Mm. Sometimes I put backstory where there wasn't one, but that's usually connective tissue also.
Yeah. The whole thing has a little bit of an Into the Woods vibe. Little less satirical.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a lot less satirical, but it has a similar vibe, and it's clever like that, I think.
The only thing... I tried to stay true to the... I did use Grimm fairy tales, or at least a certain translation.
Yeah.
And I tried to stay true to everything that happened in them. If I added anything, it was, like I said, backstory that wasn't in the original. Or specifically, I might change the ending. Like, really, all of Briar Rose, and Briar Rose is Sleeping Beauty, basically. The whole Briar Rose story is exactly as you see it in the tale. I just changed the ending. Same with Snow White, but in this version, she's not called that. But so I changed some of the endings.
Yeah.
But other than that, I left
well,
everything.
Well, I think how you put them together in some cases changed the story.
Right. And you know, some things.
So Briar Rose was that much of a badass originally? She's a pretty good badass.
Here's the thing about Briar Rose. That story is so short, there's almost nothing in it. She does almost nothing. So it was easy to add stuff to it because she doesn't do very much.
Yeah.
The only thing I changed was, obviously, she's in the story, she's sort of rescued by the prince. I don't think there's a kiss, actually, in the original story. And in this, that doesn't happen.
In the original story, it was a prenup.
The Snow White thing, the same thing. It's pretty much the exact same story. I didn't change a thing except she's not rescued by a prince. She's rescued by Briar Rose. So, and the witches that I use are, they're all in a grim fairy tale somewhere. And we're meeting those witches either before their grim story or after their grim story. So yeah, most of the stuff I did not make up at all. I just added things to hook it all together. And it was really fun to write.
We should let people listen to it.
It was very fun to write and to get everybody together to record it. But, you know, there's sound effects, there's original music, there's
I have no sense of shame or dignity. Give me the names of these people doing this shit, and I will nag the shit out of them.
I don't want you to do that, because it's just hard to get these things done.
I want you.
Well, I don't want you to.
But I want you.
Well, I don't care.
But I want you to care.
How old are you?
This many.
But Briar Rose is basically Sleeping Beauty. Our Little Red Riding Hood is in it as a character. Snow White is in it. But she's called something different, right? What do we call her?
I think it's still Snow.
It was the name that is in a certain translation of Grimm. It's not Snow White. It's something else.
Edwina Partridge.
And there's giants, and there's dwarves, and there's sausage. Witches, and magic, and sorceresses, and
sausage.
And sausage. It's really fun. And like I say, when it's finally all cut together, I'll probably cut a few things out to make everything fit.
And sell it to the BBC.
And then I might further cut it down into small pieces. I'll put an announcer on the front and the back, and, you know, tune in next time for such and such, and then you can click on the next
Who
thing.
Who knows what evils lurk in the minds of men? We don't know. Listen to this story about a kick-ass princess.
Oh, there's flashbacks.
Yes.
With the princes and everything, so it's pretty fun.
A lot of confused guards. Or really the same confused guards.
Yeah, the same confused guards. Oh, yeah, because you were a guard also.
Yes, I was like guard number three. I think I gave him like old-timey prospector voice just because I thought we had to break things up a little.
Yeah, that's fine.
A lot of the bits in it reminded me of Fairy Tale Theater, the old PBS show.
Yep. There's bits. There's Shelley bits Duvall, in it.
Oh, we miss you. Not that you're dead, but you're crazy now. No, seriously, she's really damaged, and it's...
Well, that's too bad. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's... Yeah. She's got major psychological problems and delusions.
Oh, that's too bad.
Which some argue stem from fucking Stanley Kubrick and his treatment of her during The Shining.
But really?
That's a whole other conversation we don't have time for, because it's time to draw something out of that.
Stu.
Oh, the racist.
Where do you get your news? Well, not from Breitbart like Stu.
Not from Stormfront. I feel like
I'm so sorry, Stu. This is terrible. We shouldn't do this.
I have addressed this a lot. I feel like you should talk first about this.
Well, I rarely get news from American sources. Because they're so, I mean, sometimes I do, and sometimes it's all right, but for the most part, if I decide I'm going to read or watch an American news source, like, you know, CNN or something like that, then the quality of the news is so bad that that's not even worth it. So I generally end up getting my news from, like, the BBC, Al Jazeera, RT.
RT, really?
Yeah.
I would not trust RT very far.
That's an interesting you should say that, because I hear people saying that about RT all the time. The only problem I've ever seen with RT's news, two problems. One problem is if I see things being reported about Vladimir Putin and other places,
some
bad stuff he's doing, I won't see anything like that on RT. I won't see the opposite. I won't see them talking about it. I don't see any news about him talking him up or saying how great he is or anything like that. But they just won't report it at all.
Yeah.
And something that's happened more recently, since people started describing RT as the propaganda arm of the Kremlin or any all that nonsense, they'll respond to that. And they'll respond to it in a very pointed way and sometimes in a kind of a comic way that kind of annoys me. I don't think they're wrong. I think a lot of times the accusations against them are not fair.
And I think it's similar to the situation with Al Jazeera in that there are a lot of different Al Jazeeras and a lot, like, it's a totally different group of people reporting to the English-speaking folks versus reporting in Russia. Exactly. The Al Jazeera you get is very different than the Al Jazeera that exists in the Middle East. And so I think that may be some of it, is the arm you're in isn't necessarily, you read from isn't necessarily that heavily.
And Telesur, which is from South America. And all of these different, news sources have their thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Russia television, there's certain news that you're just not going to see on there. But the news that I do see does not seem like full of propaganda or bias. Mm. But there's certain things you're not going to see.
Well, nowadays you have to diversify your sources anyway. So.
And Telesur is very pro socialist.
Okay.
But that's all right. I mean, because the thing is, a pro socialist news source is going to report details that a pro-capitalist news source will skip over.
And honestly, if you can, as long as the bias is clear.
Yeah, yeah, and you can
filter
it out. That's right. BBC, it cannot help but be a little bit imperialist. I mean, it's so funny how they're so self-conscious about their imperialist thing. They joke about it and stuff, and yet sometimes they just can't help their news be very British-centered.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just
a little bit.
Like, it's because not that it exists so much now, but when you spend that many generations conquering huge chunks of the world, it impacts your culture. Trish and I have been talking about this recently, and certain things where it's just like, sometimes the Brits just come from a perspective almost paternalistic, almost.
Yes, 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 that's right.
And I don't think it's intent. I think it's just built into there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the people nowadays wouldn't necessarily know it's from. It's an attitude they got from their grandparents or whatever. And for their grandparents, it was because, well, you know, we used to own your country. but I don't think that's what's going on now. But it conveys a certain attitude that I think then just propagates.
And sometimes it's clear they don't even notice that they're being a little patronizing they're covering something. But that's fine. And so you know that and you take that.
And sometimes they do notice and then they go around and still do it. I mean, I watch a lot of British panel shows now. So you get a lot
and
of what's, that.
And there seems like there's one I'm forgetting. But when I watch all these together, and Al Jazeera can sometimes, you know, they're very critical of just about everybody. They're probably the most balanced of all the ones that I watch, although they can be more critical. It's hard to say this because I realize at this particular moment in history, it's hard to not be overcritical of the things that the Israeli government's doing. But they can sometimes...
Oh, people find a way.
They can sometimes be overcritical of Israel or the United States, depending on what we're talking about. So I watch all of this stuff and I put it all together. Also, there are a couple commentators that I regularly listen to. Two specific commentators who are left-leaning. They were Bernie supporters and all this other stuff. And a couple of right-wing commentators. Because when I hear them report on the same thing, different facts are relevant. So I
like doing that with my news sources where they report the same story. And I'm like, oh, now we can compare and contrast.
Yeah, this person didn't mention this at all. And this person didn't mention that. And so getting them both reporting together, I feel like I'm getting more of the whole story in terms of the facts.
Yeah.
But also it is interesting to know, well, what does the left think of this? What does the right think of this? Especially since I don't personally feel like I relate or belong to either one of those camps. But those are the two camps that seem to be ruling my world. So it's good for me to know how they're thinking and why they think the way they do. And I've tried to find commentators that aren't just stupidly not like Alex Jones, nothing like that.
Oh, of course.
You know, not that kind of ridiculous, or Rush Limbaugh or anything stupid like that. People who are being sensible, people
who... Way to undermine a joke I was going to have. I was going to tell everybody that I get most of my sources from InfoWars.
People, you know, people who are willing to criticize their own camp when they do something stupid, I look for people like that.
Well, people who are just aren't blatantly exploiting things to try and
who seem to understand that their perspective is their opinion.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to push it on people like it's a fact.
Yeah.
So I've taken all of these news sources, and once in a while I'll look at an American news source, but most of my news sources are not, because American news is just, I mean, even the news, it used to be there was the news where you could kind of get fact, even on Fox News, you could watch the news portion and it wasn't actually pretty good news quality. Just, they were just giving you facts. It was just the opinion part that was stupid. Now the opinion stuff has bled over into the news, not just at Fox, but a lot of other places. And you can't get decent information. It's all, you don't even know if you're getting the truth. And a lot of times news comes out and then it's retracted later because they're so anxious to
put out
some piece of garbage. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know. The American news is in a real crisis. And it has been this way for a few decades now. People should understand that. But it is worse now than it was. It has gotten worse for sure. But now, last you talked to me about this. You were taking in, I think, CNN was one of your sources.
CNN and Fox News, which I would love to not use those two, but there's a few things going on here. One, MSNBC's website is not easily navigable. It's dumb. They break out stories by, like, Republican or Democrat. I'm like, no, where's
that?
Politics? Just click on politics.
Yeah.
So I keep politics on CNN and Fox News on the website. None of the video stuff in either case.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
And none of the opinion stuff.
That's probably a good idea.
Even
no, that is a good idea.
Then, I try and limit it to stuff that I think will end up mattering.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shit that's like, oh, this whole thing happened. Oh, my God. A week later, nobody gives a fuck. So I try and balance that out. Oddly, the place where I really keep informed is AV Club. And that's pop culture news.
Yeah.
That's all that is. I keep really, I visit there regularly. I read all the stuff there. I keep very up to date there. Politics has bled into that site. I get political stories there.
Sure,
usually they're ones I've already heard from elsewhere. But yeah, for the most part, I use CNN and Fox because they're going to shout the loudest, and they shout opposite each other. And so I can sort of use that as a balancing act.
Yeah. I also get news from India. Oh, that's really interesting and good. That's really good.
I have a friend who's from India who recently told me about all sorts of terrible things that happened there.
Yeah, this
like we think religious divisiveness is bad here. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
It's interesting stuff.
I learned about fundamentalist Hinduism.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Not pretty. Not pretty at all. Not good. But yeah, those are my sources. Honestly, well, and I've talked about this before, and I've gone back and forth about it. I really am at a point. I pay organizations that I think are important in the political climate. I pay Planned Parenthood, I pay ACLU, I pay some legal defense funds, things like that. And then I try and avoid as much of the news as I can, because...
Well, I wouldn't blame you, for sure.
My life is... Like, I don't want to be sad all the time, and I pay these people to be sad for me. But I want to keep up. I don't want a surprise. You know, I keep up enough so I'm not going to be like, what? There's a new law that makes what illegal? Like, I keep up on that shit, you know. But that's about it.
I also have been taking in a lot of entertainment news and science news. Some of those sources are American.
I don't know that I've said this on the podcast before, but so I have a lot of very geeky friends. A lot of very geeky friends. Very geeky friends. I mean, large number and also high geek quotient here. I've recently sort of put together, though, they're all kind of niche. Like, they have things that they're into, and I am sort of the pop culture generalist. Sorry, yeah, that bug is really annoying.
I wish it would land and stop.
Yeah, it's making those buzzing. It's freaking
out. I don't want
But, like, because frequently I'll try and talk to my friends about things and they haven't heard about it because they know their area of, like, geekdom and pop culture. But largely through AV Club and through some other sources, I'm just a very pop culture generalist, so I kind of know about all the stuff that's going on. And at first that was confusing to me because I don't think of myself as obsessed with pop culture or anything.
But well, you don't?
No.
I do. I think of you that way.
Well, so does everybody, and there might be something to that.
Yeah.
I don't like participating in it. I like knowing about it, I think. Yeah, all right, we should wrap this up because it's hot and I got to pack and stick your face and all that business. So what just happened? What just happened? Don't do that. All right. All right. You should go to the blog and tell us at themagicaltalkinghat.com where you get your news and just how racist you think Stu is. And also, people, just go there and tell us the sound quality, because I get conflicting answers, and I don't know. I turned mine down a little bit tonight.
Oh.
That might ruin everything. I don't know. I'm going to be in Oregon next week, so hopefully we can count on the kindness of evil strangers, because I don't know what else will happen. So I will see you guys in 2 weeks, but hopefully you'll hear something in a week. And William's not saying anything, because he's dead now.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.